Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts, members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op, and your host, Conservation Programs Manager at Memorial Park, Danny Milliken.
Hey, this is Danny Milliken. Thank you. The nice man does always a great job. This is also Home Show Garden Pros, and another great surprise, not a surprise to those of you who've been listening, but Sherry Hara is here with us.
Good morning.
Sherry is, you know, one of the ownership crew, the family at Plants for All Seasons up there on 249, just past Loetta. You guys doing good?
We're doing great. We're kind of winding down for the year.
Well, sure. We all are, really, aren't we?
We are.
You know, kind of winding down.
We closed down between the holidays, so.
Well, yeah.
It's Christmas trees, and we are done.
The poinsettias I got from y'all are still gorgeous.
Good.
Doing good. I watered them one time.
Yep.
And that was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So
it's amazing how little they require.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny because they have the little, still, you know, I have one outside, one inside.
Yeah.
And they have the little tinfoil wrap on it. So mm-hmm. I watered till I feel a little bit on the tinfoil wrap.
It's a little pudgy down there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so easy.
Yep.
It's so great. So, no, we're jumping right into poinsettias here.
Okay.
Or, you know, as fancy people call them, poinsettias.
Poinsettias.
But both are fine. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, what's another word like that where there's two ways to say it and it's okay?
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, or a Tuesday or Tuesday. Like, both are fine.
Absolutely.
Anyway, my plants, mm-hmm. My poinsettias, I can plant them in the ground? What's the story? What's the real? Give me the real scoop.
Well, they're a tropical bush, basically.
Okay.
Or small tree, however you want to look at it. So you can plant them in the ground, but we have to put them in an area where maybe they're protected from the north.
Okay.
So the south side of the house.
Because winter's coming.
Someday winter will be here. I would wait to plant them in the ground until after our last freeze.
Okay.
Or frost. So typically March.
Yeah.
Mid-March.
But maybe better to put them in some, like, pretty pots.
Yeah, so you can pull them in.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen them, you know, like my grandmother had one growing for years outside. They live inside the loop where it doesn't get as cold as where we are up in Tomball. And it grew for years and years and years. It didn't bloom spectacular outside because there's street lights and different lighting at nighttime. So they don't get that dark for 12 hours.
I feel like this is like a whole new world for me, you know, thinking about poinsettias. But the bloom is not the red leaves.
No, those are leaves. Those are bracts.
Okay.
It's called a bract, kind of like a bougainvillea.
Like the candy company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. With a T. Bracts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a T. Yeah.
And, yeah, so the flowers are just those little tiny things in the middle of the bracts. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for, has it finished blooming? Yeah, it has beautiful red leaves, but are those little flowers in the middle tight or are they fully open?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with some of the native poinsettias and kind of what they do. And there are even weeds in some spaces.
Yeah.
But it's like they have the same flower, but everything else is different.
Right.
It's kind of funny. It's like they're a little spike off the ground with tiny little flowers and some leaves at the top.
With the milky liquid inside.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome. I mean, I'm excited about them because they're gorgeous. And it's like they really added so much festive fun. And then I found a super adorable like red Volkswagen bug with a Christmas tree on top decoration. Mm-hmm. And it's like the exact same color as the poinsettias.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's like, oh my gosh, this is – have
it
these
all
near
coordinates.
Each other. Yeah. So – I guess they're doing a – okay. Well,
nice. Sorry.
That's all right. That's good radio magic. Okay. Well, Sherry's here. We jumped right into some gardening talk, but not a Christmas-oriented. I have other questions that you'll need some answering to later on. So,
okay.
713-572-4610. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's on your mind.
Absolutely.
And
that's what we're here for.
Sherry's here to help you out. Yeah. So give us a call. Home Show Garden Pros.
That looks fun.
I enjoy year-round.
Maybe why you and Dad started Nelson Water Gardens?
Hands in the dirt.
Things growing.
Changes you.
Ponds and water.
Changes your whole yard.
Creates a peaceful backyard getaway.
Anytime you want.
From a big pond.
To a pot garden.
Maybe a disappearing fountain.
We've been doing this 20 years.
Practically my whole life.
Nelson Water Gardens is a member of our family.
It's why folks say, this feels like home.
And find something worth taking home.
She's Anita.
He's Peter.
We're at NelsonWaterGardens.com.
You can find us.
can be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros can help with advice you can trust and the tools our co-op members recommend.
Nature's Way resources for quality soil, mulch, and compost. The key to healthy gardens, flowers, and lawns.
Mike Ball Irrigation Landscaping and Lighting. Putting the wow back in your yard.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
Home Show Garden Pros, want to take a little bit about one of our favorite companies called MicroLife. MicroLife makes phenomenal fertilizer.
My favorite fertilizers.
Yeah, me too. I definitely, it's, to me, huge praise to use fertilizer in my veggie bed, because all that's going into my body, into my kids' bodies. And so MicroLife is like this thing I know I can trust to do excellent produce. So if you're a veggie gardener or even growing any herbs or anything like that that's going to wind up being food, they have a phenomenal, wonderful fertilizer called MicroLife Vegetables and Flowers 846, and it really does help produce taste better.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's something you're interested in, tastier tomatoes, well, here's a product that actually help you out. So, you know, you think about the term fertilizer, you know, to make more fertile, right? It, you know, takes the space and makes it more fertile. Most of them don't do that. They actually, you know, can do the opposite. MicroLife does that because they focus on building up microbial communities in the soil. Actual, the life of the microbes, MicroLife. Pretty amazing stuff. They can't burn your plants. It's always safe. And they really care about a better world. So they have a bunch of these liquid organics, so super seaweed,
maximum molasses, bloom.
Maximum bloom, humic acid.
And my new favorite product, it's the molasses with the humic acid, the soil and plant food.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's an awesome one. That's like the two things I probably use the most are those two things.
And it's all together. It's very powerful stuff.
That's
very
wonderful. Good. And if you've ever tried to mix that at home together, the humic acid bonds with the molasses right away, and you get a sludge.
Yeah.
And this is, they somehow avoided the sludginess.
Yes.
So good for them. So they make awesome stuff. They're saying, and they believe it, and they act it, is healthy soils, healthy plants, and healthy people. So if you're looking for where to get MicroLife, you can you know, go to their website, microlifefertilizer.com, for a location nearest you. All right. Home Show Garden Pros, Sherry Hara, here with us now. We want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. We are live. We're here live answering questions. So it's a unique feature today with gardening advice.
Absolutely.
So it's winter.
It is.
We're kind of in the throes.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of. But this is also like maybe the stretch where people are thinking about their gardens the least. Now, they'll catch back up because we always have these really nice days, like today will be. That are great gardening days. Are you having anybody over for the holidays?
No, we're going to go to Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See my in-laws.
So you'll spend some time like being grateful for the gardening situation in Houston.
It's like I can't wait to get to the snow.
Right.
But I will be when I'm there. I can't wait to get home
no,
to the sunshine.
Sure. Get a couple days in the snow.
Yeah.
Or just a couple days generally just staying inside.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like what generally if I travel to northern climates in winter, it's like I'm not like – I mean, it's, you look at the snow through the window.
Yes.
But sometimes I'm like, should I just put like a window of snow up in front of my – a picture
there
of snow
There you go.
So I see it.
But no. That's like a big deal here. You know, Houston's such a everybody's from somewhere, right?
And sure.
Most people are from a northern state
right.
coming down here, and they shut down their gardening – like they were at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the beauty of living here, you got to take advantage of it, right? We plant 365 days a year.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely. We are in a city that is, I don't know if it's the best, but as far as like the ability to do year-round action, we have limitations with our soil, but those are overcomable.
Oh, absolutely.
I
think it is the best.
Yeah.
With the right inputs, right?
Well, also, I mean, we got, you know, people like our co-op members like you, like Mike Sarant doing incredible fertilizer, John Ferguson setting the bar so much higher for soil improvement, for compost.
Absolutely.
That it's like become this perfect city to be a gardener in.
Absolutely. I mean, we have access to the best products.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of places in the U.S. that they don't have great compost builders. They don't have a good organic fertilizer. You know, they have to trust whatever the box store has because they don't have all these fabulous independent garden centers that do this for a living.
Absolutely.
So you guys in Houston are lucky, lucky, lucky.
Yes, we are. We are. And we're going to talk to one lucky person calling in to ask Sherry a question. John, you are on Home Show Garden Pros.
Yes, sir. This may be a silly question, but when I cut back my lantanas and oleanders or whatever I've cut back for the fall after the freeze, after I've cut them back, what's the watering process? Should I still water the ground there or just wait in case it's a drought? Do they need more watering? I don't know what to do about that.
Well, everything's kind of in a slow growth stage. We have shorter days. We typically get a little bit of rainfall, although it has been on the drier side. So you want to irrigate a little bit, but you just want to go on the lighter side. So if we're getting an inch of rain a week, typically you don't have to do any extra irrigation, especially on a perennial like your lantana that's really not growing through the winter, right?
That's
so
right.
If we're not getting at least an inch of rain, then I would maybe water once through the week.
Okay.
on these cooler days. So you just don't want to overdo the water.
Okay. I thought they might need some water just because they're dormant. Doesn't mean they don't need some hydration. So
yeah, the oleander question. Won't go dormant, but the lantana, sometimes it does. You know, we typically don't have a hard enough freeze to go completely dormant. So yes, you will need a little bit of water if we're not getting any rain.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your show.
Thanks,
John. But Sherry, that's a big if, right? Like, if we are getting any rain at all.
If we're not getting any rain.
Well, I'm saying if we are getting any, like even a little bit, I mean, there's, you know, as far like, I was kind of checking out my soil, and I've only watered the veggie gardens. And I was kind of, you know, goofing around on the front landscape beds, and they're like, they're holding water under the mulch.
Yeah. Well, if we have really good composted soil, right?
Yeah.
That'll hold on to the moisture. But a lot of people, if your soil's not good, your soil won't stay hydrated through those drought times. So you may have to do a little watering. But always check, you know, dig down. Get your hands dirty.
See
what's happening down there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I think one thing that I take for granted is I do always kind of make sure there's always mulch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like very dissatisfied with that mulch. And, you know, all my neighbors around my front driveway all have deciduous trees.
Yeah.
And so I have a bunch of just leaves right now. And I always blow the leaves into my bed as mulch. And, you know, but I was goofing around under the layer of, you know, 3-4 inches of leaves. And it was perfectly – this is before the little bit of rain.
Right.
It was perfectly moist down there. So just, you know, do be aware that those plants that John mentioned can handle some drought.
They can handle some drought. Absolutely.
Yeah. I do have another question for you just kind of while we're on this subject that he brought up. John mentioned, you know, kind of dead plants after – or dead parts of plants after a freeze.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if I'm dealing with – I have a drawing here. Can you see it? So that's a branch and these are dead branches and that's – but this is still live. So here we are. It's, you know, December 21st and I've already got some dead branches on some oleander.
Yeah.
Should I cut those off or should I just kind of leave them for now?
Well, this is where I say it's really up to the gardener.
Okay.
But you need to go into it knowing what to expect. So if you go out right now and you just can't handle it anymore.
Right.
It looks ugly and messy. Like I have a hibiscus that's dropping frozen leaves into the pool. So I might go and cut that. But I know now I've removed that wood that basically protects the next section of wood from the next freeze, because you know we will have another one, right? So if I go out and do some pruning to clean up early in the season, I will have to go out and protect it now.
I see.
So where if I would have just left that wood on there, I wouldn't have to do any extra protecting. So it's really up to the gardener. If you just can't take the mess anymore.
Well, it certainly is a lot easier to cover if I'm
taking
off.
If it is shorter, yeah. But at my house, nothing gets covered.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make it.
And if, let's say I do prune and I do a little bit too much pruning and I wind up kind of cutting back into some live material, is that anything I should do there?
Anything you should do there, I would just protect it if we were going to have a freeze after that. Yeah.
Gotcha. So.
Because now you have exposed wood now.
Yeah. And I guess that anything that died in any freezes we've got, I now am familiar enough to know, hey, this plant will freeze.
Yeah.
If it froze during a previous freeze, You really, when you cut it back, you should get some shade cloth. I mean, frost cloth.
Frost cloth, yeah.
And really cover it.
Cause, absolutely.
Because you, you have confirmed information that that plant is not cold hardy.
Absolutely.
Which is always the best kind.
Yeah.
You know, personal experience with it.
Yep.
So thank you, Sherry. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. We want to hear from you. 713-572-4610.
Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted nurseries and landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family-owned, family-run. Sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
To the Home Show Garden Pros.
Need a last-minute gift? We've got it here at Buchanan's Native Plants in the Heights. Hi, I'm Zach Buchanan. We've got gifts and stocking stuffers in our bungalow. Come check it out. Plenty of holiday decor that's currently on sale. And if you need that last-minute gift, we've got it. We've got candles and fragrance and gardening books, gardening tools. Holiday decorations, including garland and wreaths, are on sale. The nursery is getting stocked up with landscape material. If you've got a project you're working on, now's the time to get started. Sign up for our newsletter to find out when fruit trees arrive. Those are going to be coming soon. We're open our regular business hours 9 to 6 today and tomorrow. We'll be open till 3 on Christmas Eve and closed Christmas Day. If you're in the Heights area, Buchanan's is located at 611 East 11th Street between Studewood and Heights Boulevard. Thank you all for a great 2019. We look forward to serving you in 2020. And now back to Sherry and Danny.
Thanks, Zach. Sherry and Danny here. And I just want to say, great job. Buchanan's looking really great. They had incredible tree sales this year. So great job, Buchanan's.
Christmas tree sales?
Yep. And they just got a bunch of citrus in, which I was encouraging a coworker that citrus is a terrific gift.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, as to quote Christmas Vacation, it's a gift that keeps on giving all year long.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we own a garden center, right? And I love plants and I have access to it. I love getting plants for gifts.
Yeah, right.
Like really cool, different plants. I mean, and I can get whatever I want pretty much whenever I want. So,
which is super nice.
Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of people don't think about that.
Like, yeah.
People love plants.
No, I mean, it's like how many kind of baubles and mugs.
Right, things.
Yeah, like decorative pieces.
That you just put on a shelf and...
And don't do anything else for you.
Look at every now and then.
And because it's a Christmas gift, it's connected to the person that gave it to you, but it's not like shared with this experience. But like a plant, even some of the ones like what's the one, mother-in-law's tongue?
Sansevieria.
Sansevieria. Mm-hmm. So easy to take care of.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And there's so many different versions.
Yeah. We have so many people coming in and getting gifts for their college age. That is like a huge thing. Like these college age kids want plants in their dorm. When I was college age, I was not thinking plants. So that's really cool to me. Like
for sure.
Younger people are really into these plants. So if you have a college age person that you're trying to buy for, get them a plant.
No, I think that's great advice. Yeah. I mean, they're great decoration.
Mm-hmm.
They do require a little bit of tending, which is nice.
A little bit.
No, but it is nice.
Yeah, it is
nice. And then they actually, even if it's not a huge impact, they do clean the air. You know, they do like work on that. So I mean, I feel like that I've kind of made this December season on Home Show Garden Pros, like Danny Milliken, learning all about indoor plants.
Yeah, there's so much to learn.
There's so much to learn, and they're perfect gifts.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. We're going to answer some gardening questions. 713-572-4610. Ronnie, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
How are y'all doing this morning?
Great. Good, how are you?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Well, I'm okay. I listen to y'all a lot. I always listen to Mickey Eastman. Anyway, I had two questions, actually.
Sure.
I have a plant that is, when I bought it, they said it was a desert rose.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all familiar with those?
Absolutely.
And also, my poinsettias, they never work right. I think I heard just when I tuned in, y'all were at the last of talking about it. And I thought y'all said it's amazing how little water they require.
Yes, especially indoors.
Yes. That might be my problem because where I bought where my son actually bought them, and he buys his farm every year, and somehow he got the word that you were supposed to put in that size we bought, which is about maybe a gallon or maybe even a 2 gallon container. They required 16 ounces of water every week.
Okay, yeah, and that would, to me, that would be extreme to get on a weekly schedule with them. What I do with my poinsettias is I will actually lift the pot up. When it's lightweight, I give it water. So,
oh wow,
yeah. And so, and in my home environment, we don't run the heat too much, right? And they're not in super bright light. So I water mine about every 3 to 4 weeks. Mm. So you probably don't need to be on a regimen, but just check them every week. If it's really light, then go ahead and give it a little water.
Ronnie, one thing I noticed is that when the plant starts falling over, you know, because it gets so top heavy, right? Because it's got all those leaves up on top. You know, bracts.
Bracts, yes.
When it starts falling over, that's a good sign that the bottom is too light. And that's maybe a great indicator that it's time to water when it starts kind of just falling over.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness sakes. I've just been...
Well, so, you know, I'm really glad you called because I don't think you're alone, Ronnie, in this thing is that we think we get these plants home and we think we got to get them water, that's how we take care of plants.
And that's the number one killer of interior plants is too much water. That's why I never get on a cycle and I never tell anybody that it's an exact science. It's not 16 ounces once a week. It may be 16 ounces every 3 weeks. But you need to just kind of let the plant dictate when it needs water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just lift it up. If it's really lightweight or if it's showing any signs of wilting leaves, then go ahead and give it a little drink.
Do you ever test the moisture with your finger? You know that.
Oh yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, your finger is the best tool you have for moisture detection. You don't need a snazzy moisture meter. Just stick your finger down in there. If it's moist, don't water it.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, maybe I can save them because they're. I've only had them now. It's 3 weeks.
Uh huh.
And
yeah.
They've had 16 ounces for three weeks.
So. Yeah. Yep. Just back off and make sure that there's nothing holding the water at the root system. So no saucer. If they're in that foil pack, drain the water out of that.
Yeah, I bet that's what I'm going to have to. I'm going to do that today.
Yep.
I'm gonna bring them in the garage and fix that because I bet you there's a lot of water in that tin foil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with a little bit of rain, even we got it can collect it like a watering device, like a measuring thing. So
yep.
Hey, well, thanks so much, Ronnie.
Oh, can you answer me a couple of questions about the desert rose?
Absolutely.
Sure.
If you don't mind, Ronnie, just holding on through a break. It'll only be a couple minutes, and then we'll be right back on and get talking about that wonderful plant.
Oh, I'll hold on.
Okay. Thanks, Ronnie. 713-572-4610. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
You know, there's something about a fireplace that really warms the soul. Dancing flames bring an easy smile if you've had a visit from Lord's Chimney this year. Lord's Chimney certified technicians use video scanning technology to find leaks, identify and fix issues before your home is at risk, and they guarantee a mess-free service every time. So, relax, enjoy your fireplace, and keep your family safe. Call Lord's Chimney, Tom's trusted certified pro. Get a free virtual estimate online at lordschimney.com.
The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help you be a better gardener with tips from pros you can trust. Members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
This is Diane Bulanowski from Warren Southern Gardens, located in beautiful Kingwood, the livable forest.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now 713-572-4610.
Sherry and I are back, Home Show Garden Pros, talking gardening.
Absolutely.
So we're in the midst of answering your gardening questions, and we want, you know, to do more of that. 713-572-4610. It's a funny word, midst.
Yeah.
Midst. Okay, so Ronnie, we were kind of chatting with you. You got some questions about your desert rose, and it's a really good thing Sherry's here.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, Ronnie.
What's your question?
Okay. Well, I've had this plant now for, I think it's 16 years.
Oh, wow.
When I bought it over in Galveston, and it was a container that was, I'm going to say 6 inches around. It was, and it was cylindrical in shape.
Okay.
Straight. And about, maybe 10 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was beautiful, and it just blooms so nice. I mean, it, you know, when it gets those blooms on, it's just, I've got pictures of it,
mm-hmm.
Through the years. And at any rate, I was afraid to transplant it because it seems like every time I do something with a pot plant, it dies.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so I just didn't want to do it, but it began to get so big that it, about in the middle of it, it split the container.
Yeah.
And so I finally replanted it, I think it was a couple of years before Harvey. And I put it in a container that I think is about a 3-gallon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now the base of the plant where it comes out of the ground is 5 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting really big, and I don't know whether I'll try to put it in something bigger still. It's in one of those type of containers that have the little reservoir on the bottom. What I do with it, I stick my finger in there, and if it's dry, I pour a little bit in the reservoir.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that good?
That's great, and I think as long as it's doing well in that pot, I would wait to up-pot it again. Until it's kind of gotten bigger and fuller in that pot. I mean, you've had it for 16 years. You've only replanted it once, right?
Correct. Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah, I think it's got a ways to go in a 3-gallon pot. It can get quite large.
Is that large comparative to what most people have?
Yeah, I would say a 3-gallon is typically the largest that you'll have to go. Now, if it outgrows that, if that base gets as big as the top of that pot, then yes, you will need to replant it.
Oh, wow. Well, it's got a long way.
It's got a long way, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously I'm doing it right on that one.
Yeah. You've had it for 16 years.
Yeah.
You should be teaching me how to do it, right? That's a long time.
I don't. Yeah, it is. And do they have like a life, like a tree, you know? I mean, do they reach a point where they start going downhill?
No, not typically. I mean, you could have that plant for, you know, maybe 20 years before it would exhibit any decline. So I think you'll be fine.
And none of that stuff's hard and fast. They're kind of like expiration dates. It's like,
yeah,
you know, a ballpark general thing of what when this is going to die. You know what I mean? Just not like it's like, oh, at 20 years, you know, that's it. You only have four more years. That you just you keep doing what you're doing. Don't overwater it, and you're think you're going to have a lot of fun with that baby.
Yep.
Oh, it has been. It's my favorite because it stays with me. You know, I'm like 80 years old now, and it's just great to have something plant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
You're doing great, Ronnie. Really appreciate the call, man, and have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So Desert Rose is a few people have it mixed up what kind of plant that is.
Uh-huh.
And thanks, Ronnie, for bringing it up because this is one of those plants. It's a beautiful indoor plant, really interesting.
Indoor or outdoor.
Or outdoor, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Will you describe kind of what the plant looks like to people?
It almost looks prehistoric. The trunk of it, the base where is bulbous. It's like a big bulb that comes out of the ground. Then it comes up and branches off and gets these beautiful, usually some color of red or pink flowers, like clusters.
But really like bigger than the leaves.
Yes. A lot of times we see them kind of in bonsai pots.
Okay.
They look like they're really old and, like I said, prehistoric. I mean, it's really a cool
plant. It kind of looks like somebody took some tree from, you know, the dinosaur era and shrunk it down.
Yeah, and put flowers on it.
Yeah, so really unique specimen. You know, not easy to care for, but if you're not going to overwater it.
Yeah, like mine, I put it out in the full sun.
Okay.
And it gets barely any water. Like, I almost never water it. It gets rain. You do have to protect it from the winter, though.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So absolutely.
Bring it in. That's one of those plants where maybe investing in a grow light and a warm corner of your house is a good thing to do. Well, awesome. 713-572-4610. Earl and Howard, we see you on the line. We're definitely going to get to you. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
You gotta eat healthy to be healthy. True for you, true for your garden, yard, and landscaping. Feed your plants. Choose MicroLife Humates Plus Granular with the purple label. MicroLife Humates Plus is concentrated compost in a bag. Easy way to improve all soils and support all plants. Feed now and your plants will love you back in the spring. MicroLife Humates Plus Granular Fertilizer, perfect for winter feeding. Healthy soil, healthy plants, healthy people. Visit microlifefertilizer.com.
I wish you a hopeful Christmas. I wish you a great new year.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros here. We're talking gardening, answering gardening questions. Have a great time doing it. I do have the opportunity to talk to a really knowledgeable specialist when it comes to soils, and that's John Ferguson. Hey, John.
Good morning, Danny.
So John is the owner of Nature's Way Resources, my favorite spot for compost. But I got a question for you about something kind of unrelated.
Let's go.
Okay. So I have seen this kind of growth on some mulches recently. It looks kind of like dog barf, but I know it's slime mold. But will you tell me a little bit about that? Is that good?
It is very bad.
Oh.
It's a sign of a very bad mulch.
Hmm.
Very common on hardwood bark and other low-quality mulches. Like I said, the nickname is dog puke fungus.
Ew.
And it will seal the soil. And I've seen even with people with irrigation, the water and air cannot penetrate, so their plants die when that happens, just because they used a cheap mulch.
Oh, my gosh. So what can they do to kind of overcome or get rid of it?
Well, one is take a garden rake and break it up and add a lot of extra fertilizer, two or three times the amount, because that's just raw wood. It's got a 500-to-1 or higher carbon-nitrogen ratio, and healthy soil's 30-to-1. So you've got to add nitrogen and other nutrients to break it down, or you stand to lose a lot of your plants. And even if you don't lose them, you're going to have a lot of insect and disease problems.
So using excellent mulch, we can avoid that process altogether.
Much cheaper in the long run.
Gotcha. Awesome. Like your native hardwood is excellent mulch, and that would be what I would recommend anybody to use.
Yes, sir. That native, what we call the native hardwood, it's actually branches and limbs, and it's been composted. The heat kills your weed seeds, and it feeds the microbes that break clay down and turn clay into a beautiful loam.
Mm, that is awesome. Hey, well, thanks for clarifying slime mold. Now I know I need to take care of it if I ever see it, or at least go ring the doorbell of the person who's got it.
There you go, Danny.
Well, let everybody know your website and how to get a hold of you.
Oh, it's naturewayresources.com, or you can call the office at 936-321-6990.
Thanks, John. Keep making awesome compost and mulches.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Bye-bye.
713-572-4610. We're answering gardening questions. Sherry Hara here. We're going to keep that ball rolling. Earl, you were on Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I have a lime tree, and it's in my flower bed, and I planted it in the front flower bed in my front yard. I knew that it was going to get up to about 7 feet. What I didn't know is how wide it was going to get. So it spreads pretty wide, and it's spreading out into some of the other plants. And so I was talking with my wife. It's about 4 or 5 years old, and I was talking to my wife. The first time that I trimmed it, it didn't bear quite as many limes as it did. And so I guess my question to you is, should I trim it again or just kind of let it do what it does?
I appreciate the difficulties that come with lime growing.
Mm-hmm.
They are our most sensitive citrus to pruning, to cold, to kind of a lot of it. I have seen them have great success kind of being pruned and being shaped. Does it make the little limes? Is it a key lime, Mexican lime, or is it making like regular sized limes?
It's like a Mexican lime. It makes huge limes, and when I don't trim it, it bears a lot. Like
okay.
This past season, I mean, it had a lot.
Okay. The Mexican limes are like the tiny little kind of
key lime.
Yeah, key lime, mm-hmm, golf ball, mm-hmm, or smaller. But so you're getting big limes, and they taste limey.
Yes, they're big.
Okay,
they're
awesome.
Big, and
thing. My best recommendation for you, Earl, is to make sure you're kind of keeping that plant fertilized. MicroLife is a great thing to put down, kind of using a little bit of their citrus food. They have a fruit fertilizer, but beginning the process of trimming it on a more regular basis, so shaping it. So instead of doing kind of the massive once a year pruning, really kind of shaping it like it's a regular shrub. And you kind of start gradually at first, but then you can get it to where you can really shape it and make it the size you want. That's one of the great things about citrus is that we can choose their size, but like anything else, if you've let it go crazy, you got to kind of start slow.
Take it back in increments.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. I don't mind the height, but I tell you what, it really sprouts out wide. The branches, it gets wide. It's the circumference is crazy. So, I mean, I love it. I love the smell. Every time I pick the limes, I love the smell that it gives and the thorns and everything. So I was just wondering about it. And one more other thing, I was listening about irrigation of some of the other callers, and I was just wondering about the irrigation of this, of my lime plant. I mean, it seems to be doing okay, but I know maybe it may need some water when I don't know that it does.
Yeah, I actually run my citrus on the drier side, especially if you're in a clay content soil that holds on to more moisture. So I would say probably really on your citrus right now, the rain is typically enough, unless
Absolutely.
It's exhibiting any signs of drought stress. But they can take it on the drier side.
Yeah, the only time they're water users is when they're building the fruit.
Yeah.
That's the only really time.
And right now they're not.
Yeah.
So.
And even then, best to just kind of give them as little as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. I kind of figured that. I kind of left it alone, and it seems to be doing just fine. Hey, listen, thank you. I appreciate everything.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas.
You bet.
You too.
Thank you, Earl.
Bye-bye.
So there's a kind of a method of pruning called shearing that's a cone-shaped.
Uh-huh.
And if he doesn't mind the height at all, Earl, I would think that looking after like that shearing method, a lot of people do it with bigger hollies.
Yes.
Things like that. But it might work really, really well on a lime.
Yeah.
And that is the thing, is that you can't go from this wild, rambling plant to a perfectly sheared plant.
Right. You got to take it back.
Kind of a thing that has to happen on a regular basis. So it can work, though. So
yeah,
cool thing about citrus. All right, Home Show Garden Pros, Sherry Hara right here with me, 713-572-4610.
Get growing at Warren Southern Gardens. Whether you're a garden newbie or ninja, Warren's helps you succeed without ever making you feel stupid. From seed and soil to plants and products, Dean and Bernice and the whole crew at Warren's gets you growing because their roots run deep. Come wander Warren's Pathways, where it's always safe to set your inner gardener free. Warren Southern Gardens, 1675 North Park Drive, Kingwood. Online at warrensoutherngardens.com.
Get more from your gardening. The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help with advice and tools they trust to keep things green.
Southwest Fertilizer, quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955. Wabash Feed and Garden, a little bit of the country in the heart of the city.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
All right, Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. Sherry Hara here.
Alive and in person.
Alive and in person. Recently driven a Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday.
So, you know, that's pretty cool. We got street cred here. No Tom Tynan today after this because I guess Texans Bucks pregame starts.
How exciting.
Then. So if you're already tuning in for pregame, I want you to know that I haven't watered my lawn since 2011. Okay, Home Show Garden Pros. Now you know if I piqued your interest that great. We're here with a gardening expert, Sherry Hara from Plants for All Seasons.
Yes.
And we're answering gardening questions. That's what we do. We help you improve your gardening game. And both Sherry and I consider lawns part of gardening. And so this is just like anything that grows, stuff you do outside. We want to talk to you. So Howard, you got there. We got you waiting. You're on. What's your question for Shara? Sherry. Oh, my God. I called you Harry at first. But Howard, what's your
Merry
question?
Christmas.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
And Danny, would you leave your Lamborghini?
No, I don't. I got a Honda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's almost American.
It's the Ferrari of the mid-class Japanese vehicles.
Absolutely. Y'all were talking earlier about pecan trees.
Ooh.
I have about a 30-year-old approximately tree that's bears good pecans, but they're all bitten. Seem when I get a good crop.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if how best to control and what time of the year is something I could do without hiring a professional to come out and spray the tree and all that.
Well, let's see. I've never grown a pecan tree, but I do know they are very prone to insects and disease. I'm going to let Danny head this one up because he is our tree guy.
Well, especially fruit trees and nut trees. Mm-hmm. I think Sherry is our, everything thing. But with the pecans, especially the grafted fruiting pecans, they are susceptible to just about everything that could possibly go wrong, from limb drop to, you know, root rot to a lack of nutrients, all that stuff. And when you've got a kind of a regular
problem
with bugs, generally you have a problem with what's called Brix rating, and it means you need to step up the soil game. You need to improve the soil, and that will help the plant kind of fend off some of the bugs. Now, I know you're reticent to get someone out to spray, but there are some pesticides that are systemic that they can put into the tree and kind of serves as a guard against diseases and pests.
Through injection,
yeah. Yeah. And that is something that really a professional needs to do, but it could be a way that's not quite as damaging to pollination, to the rest of your landscaping. From my view, everybody in the city needs to put a bunch more minerals around their pecans, and the Nature's Way remineralizer is a great way to do it. Humic acid is a great way to do it. Texas green sand is a great way to do it.
Leaf mold compost.
And then compost it to activate those minerals.
And break them down.
Let the roots kind of, you know, start moving more. So that's all over the city. That's everybody without any like specific problems. Does that make sense?
Sure does. The question about the bugs, is there a moth that lays eggs and then it hatches into the larva and they, is that?
Inside the fruit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, there's a couple actually that can like grind in, but they do it when the pecan is brand new. right? It's when it's still soft is when they kind of bore in there. They're not going in there when it's hard and it's not recent. So, but that is the thing where, you know, if you do spray it, it's not when you've got the problem. It's before you've got the problem.
Certainly.
And so that's where improving the overall health of the plant will actually make it a much less desirable destination for some of your pest bugs.
Well, and for a do-it-yourself person with a pump-up sprayer,
it's
that can reach reasonable.
You're not. So I guess when it's flowering, every week after it's flowering for probably 4 or 5 weeks, you need to cover top and bottom of each leaf surface and all of the new nut buds.
I'd have to have a crop duster.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so you want to focus on the roots.
The roots and the soil and the nutrient level.
Yeah, yeah. If you try to focus on the problem up in the branches, one of the big problems is that your tree has two simple sugars in it and is not as healthy as it can be. And so that's where coming back to the roots, back to the soil, you can actually make a big difference on not only the life of your pecan, but also reducing the nuisance.
Well, good. If I did treat something, I remember Bill Zach used to talk about spray it with something like Durzban, which is banned.
Yeah.
Also, he recommended putting 21 double alt around the drip line of the tree, like February, March, April, something like that. Is that still a treatment that's?
I think a lot's changed since he was on the radio. You know, that was.
Oh yeah, absolutely, including me.
Yeah, right. So now we're more soil focused, and when we really build that soil, when we're putting the 2100 down, we're killing a lot of life in the soil. Yes, you're feeding the plant. It's kind of like fast food for the tree. Puts on a quick burst of growth, but it's not sustainable. So when you're putting down your minerals, your remineralizer, your compost, your humic acid, that's actually building the soil and feeding the plant in a more sustainable manner. And that's going to increase the Brix level of that plant, the sugars of that plant, and it will ward off insects and disease on its own. So I wouldn't get into putting down a lot of heavy synthetic fertilizers because that will damage your roots.
Oh, I haven't done that in years.
Good. So I would just change the way we feed it, like Danny said, with more compost and organic methods.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get into a spray pattern, I would think like a neem oil, maybe spinosad, if you wanted to spray early on before the fruit hardens to try to deter some of these insects, then you could do that. It's high up as you can spray. But other than that, I wouldn't be putting a lot of hefty chemicals down.
I think I'll do like Danny said and just start from the ground up.
There you go. That's your best mode of action.
And just to echo what I'm saying is what I think is the best thing to do, and that's the Nature's Way remineralizer.
Yes.
And following that up
with compost. I hadn't heard of that product over there. I've been there
fairly
several
new.
Times.
Yeah.
I live in the Beaumont area, so it's quite a way. But I've visited his store and bought leaf mold compost and bought a bag.
Yeah. Well, I'd encourage you to go to the website first and see where they sell it in Beaumont, because I know they got a couple locations where it's being sold there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks so much, Howard, for the call. And pecans, I love pecans. They're a Texas legend. They participate in Texas history. They're delicious. They're fun to crack, you know, all of it. So I definitely understand that. But the fruiting ones really are orchard plants.
Yes.
And they require a lot of attention. So Howard, sounds like you're doing a great job with those. All right. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
It can happen to anyone. A broken pipe, busted water heater, or clogged toilet floods your home. Worse yet, a fire resulting in smoke damage. Trust Tom Tynan Certified Experts, Rouse Restoration. With 24/7 emergency service, the experts at Rouse Restoration will immediately stop the damage, save your property, and start your recovery. They'll work with you and your insurance company to get your life back. Rouse Restoration. Your property is our priority. RouseRestoration.com.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
All right, Home Show Garden Pros, show about gardening. best way to garden and enjoy it and keep on keeping on is by having excellent tools. Some of those are, you know, great soil knives, great steeropose, but some of those are the bigger tools. I'm talking about outdoor power equipment. And Lansdowne Moody is a great place to buy outdoor power equipment. In fact, I would consider it Houston's outdoor power equipment specialists. Lansdowne Moody has huge, huge tractors, stuff like that, but they got a lot of great hand tools. And they have a lot of great hand tools because they only sell steel. And steel is a wonderful, the number one brand of handheld outdoor power equipment. I'm talking chainsaws, hedge trimmers, line trimmers, blowers, pressure washers, things like that. And these make the perfect gift for the person that's doing that outdoor work, because it makes the job easier, it makes it more fun, and it buys some time to do the other type of gardening that is even more fun, the flowers and stuff like that. So perfect gifts for husbands, fathers, you know, mom gardeners, dad gardeners, whoever's out there doing it. Even if your neighbor's always borrowing your tool, you know, maybe get yourself a steel and give them your tool that they keep bothering. So Lansdowne Moody, you don't buy a box. They assemble the tool. They'll even register for you, so you don't have to worry about the warranty. They just take care of it. So give the gift that your people will love all year long. And Lansdowne Moody is conveniently located all over Houston, East Freeway just before 16 East, Webster, Conroe, Splendora, Hockley, Bellway 8 just southeast of 59, and their website, lmtractor.com. Well, Sherry, great job.
Well, thank you.
As always, way to go. And give us y'all are closing for a little bit. So
we'll close Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock, and then we'll reopen on January 6th. We have some new things going on. We're building a beautiful new greenhouse front to up our indoor plant game. So that's real exciting, and we'll be doing some live videos from Florida at the biggest indoor plant show that we're going to go to.
Oh my gosh, how cool!
So that's fun. We'll see everybody on the 6th of
January.
Well,
thanks for dishing out awesome information. Thanks to Anita for dishing out awesome information earlier today. Next week will be Mike Sorant and Betty Hacker. We're gonna have a fun time. And Merry Christmas to everybody, and go Texans!
Woohoo!
We're surrounded by Christmas traditions. Neighborhoods twinkle, colorful lights. Driveways overflow, family and friends visit. Scrooge, It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, and yes, Die Hard. Dinners of ham or turkey, and maybe even Peking duck. Rushing, wrapping, the final Christmas crunch, some assembly required. We have a tradition of our own around here, our radio Christmas card to you. Because we believe all these traditions mean more when they rest on the reason we call this Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.